Hello, sexy nerds of the Nerd Imperium. Welcome to another episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We are your inner conclave of nerdom. My name is Diz, and I am your pop culture and sports nerd. Ali?
I am Ali, your classic nerd.
And I'm VM, your comic book nerd.
Guys, I was listening to this podcast from the Ayatollah of rock and rolla, the GOAT, Chris Jericho. You know this guy, Y2J.
Is he the one that used to do the Walls of Jericho?
Yeah, you did the DX suck it sign, but said so Walls of Jericho. Yeah. Yeah,
it works.
It works. Close. But yes.
But wasn't he related to the DX suck it sign guy?
No.
Like, no, they're all white guys with long hair.
Aren't they all on the same team or some shit like that?
No, they're all in the same company, but, you know, they're just, don't be racist.
You know, I mean, you did a lot more than we expected already with
Owen. Yeah, I am very thoroughly impressed by your, by you knowing he's the Walls of Jericho.
I've become more educated.
In the art of wrestling?
Yeah.
Trademark Colt
Cabana. Just by traveling.
I've just
come back, so I'm super exhausted.
Yeah, you were in Israel trying to take back the motherland.
Every other day, people were asking like where I was, and Diz changed up where I was. Like, people were like, hey, where's Ali? He's like, he's in Mecca.
Yeah.
Next, he's like, he's in Israel.
Yeah. He's in Jerusalem trying to take back the motherland. He's just like,
wait, aren't you banned from like Saudi Arabia or something?
Egypt. What was it? The one was Egypt or something?
One was Egypt. Cairo. Cairo. I said he was in Cairo.
Like, everyone who asks, like legitimately asks, like, where's Ali? Everyone has received a different answer. thanks to Diz. Though I have been following the adventures of our friend Amir.
Oh, yes.
That's been really solid adventure.
Yeah, he's been all over.
He went to England,
mm-hmm.
Then Brazil.
No, he went to England, France.
Brazil.
No, then he went to the Netherlands.
Did he go to the Netherlands?
To the Netherlands.
I know he was in Cardiff.
Ooh, in Wales.
Yeah. You could recognize. Cardiff has a look to it that you instantly.
Yeah, no. You can now. You know, honestly, it's one of those things where there's a very.
Yeah, it's a very.
You can just look at me like Welsh.
Well, all of the UK in general is like pretty. Except Scotland. Scotland's weird. Scotland has like all seasons at like in one day.
Mm-hmm.
But the UK generally is pretty overcast,
mm-hmm.
right? So like I was in Manchester. Even though it was summer, it was wet. It was really wet where I was. There was a thunderstorm the last
time. I'll show you wet.
But there's something about Cardiff. It always looks perpetually gloomy.
Yeah,
it's Wales.
It's Wales.
Yeah, I don't know. I know we have a couple of UK listeners, but yeah.
Shout out to y'all. I was in you.
And then he went to Brazil.
I was in your kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
That's wrong.
Clarify that.
Yeah. And he went to Brazil.
Yeah, now, he's been having a real trip.
Now he's in Chicago.
Mine was only a few days, five days.
Ali went and circumnavigated the world in the 5 days.
But according to Diz, my trip was this massive endeavor.
He was on the quest to
appreciate that, though, because if, like, Homeland Security was, like, searching for me, they had to do was check your text message and be like, where the fuck did this guy actually go?
Yeah, next time.
Or you've probably just screwed me and they think I'm secret sleeper seller.
I told people you were in Islamabad, too.
See, like, stuff like that. Like,
that's right.
So, like, if I ever come back and like I get a question from Customs and Border Day, will you or will you not in Islamabad? But what the fuck, Islamabad?
Yes.
Not even close.
You were in Pakistan. Yeah. I mean, you were in England. There's a lot of Pakistanis there.
It's fucked up.
Close.
Interesting thing about England, they call people from South Asia Asians.
Yeah?
Yeah. So like we call Asians East Asians, generally. Uh-huh. Or when we say Asian,
it's a really
kind of generic term for anybody that looks from East Asia, even Southeast Asia, if you're whether you're Malaysians, Philippines, Thailand, Vietnam, China, Japan, they're all Asians.
Are they not?
Whereas in the UK,
we're Asian.
When you say Asian, you're referring to Pakistanis and Indians.
Yeah, and they actually are in Asia.
Yeah, so are Afghans.
Yeah, but Afghans are also.
Yeah, yes. Afghans are Central Asians, though I don't like the term Central Asian.
No, me neither.
It's incorrect, I think.
What are we, Middle Eastern?
Middle Eastern or South Asian is the accurate.
Asian podcast.
Whatever, bro, same shit, potato, potato, you know.
Potato.
But,
always go into the accent every time we mention it?
That was Indian.
You know what does sound really good right now is Indian food. I had curry. Oh, my God, I had this. I didn't even remember what type of curry it was. It was the first time I've ever had goat curry, like legit goat curry. I've had goat curry ages ago, but I much prefer chicken curries.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I had a goat curry.
Because they don't do beef curries, huh?
They don't do. It was, well, maybe they do.
No, man, because they
goat curry.
They can't eat that shit.
I had goat curry.
I like goat curry.
I like goat. There's certain goat stuff that I like, masalas, mm-hmm. but it's. I've never had goat curry that I've liked.
What's a vindaloo?
A vindaloo is a type of sauce.
Uh-huh.
So it involves spices, pot- potatoes.
Potatoes.
So yes. I had a goat curry.
My palate really is not that good.
So I've been kind of craving curry.
Yep.
It's from the region of Goa.
Oh, so now we're speaking of goats. I was talking about the goat Chris Jericho.
Yeah, I completely interrupted you because I had no interest
in yes. that. On his podcast. No, you'll find this interesting. He had a wrestler by the name of Bo Dallas, all right, who's the son of Irwin R. Scheister, also known as IRS. And they were talking conspiracy theories. And Bo Dallas was going off about this hollow earth theory and the reptilians and the lizard people. And I was so confused as to, like, I don't understand how people believe this shit.
We've talked about it on this podcast
before. Have we talked about the hollow earth before?
Not hollow earth. No, we've talked about conspiracy in general.
Yeah, yes. Right?
But it's, of course, the reptilians is obviously true.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, the hollow earth reptilian is a ridiculous
has
idea.
Two connotations. Some reptilians are believed to be space, right?
Uh-huh.
Space reptiles.
Yeah.
And reptilians are also from hollow earth.
Yeah.
They're often associated with people who like to slow down videos of politicians.
Yeah, and they say their eyes.
So there's flash moments of like their face turns reptilian.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, really, if you've ever seen anyone's face after 100 pictures are taken of them.
Uh-huh.
You know, in a moment, you'll see in moments of ugly, yeah. You know, I know for a fact, I have a very expressive face that I've learned to control over the years.
Snake-like face,
I
would say.
I have, what? That's really offensive. I have a perfectly good nose.
You're just saying.
It's really offensive to snakes. No, I'm just kidding. I have a very expressive face. It's how a lot of my humor is done. Deadpan and shock and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
but I keep it straight. But I have micro expressions of like annoyance
mm-hmm.
and disgust.
I've seen those.
They exist. they make you doubt if you've actually seen them. But those are like my two common ones: is annoyance, like just flash of like you need to get out of my face.
Thing is though, Diz, micro annoyance is not something that Ali shows to you.
No, I just outright
pure outright annoyance.
I've seen the slits in your
So contempt, annoyance, and disgust are like the three micro. But people who take pictures catch it.
Uh-huh.
According to these fucking reptilians, I would have been a reptile. Look at his face.
I'm not surprised that they would think you're a reptilian.
That's true.
And twisted into some grotesque monster. Yeah, hey, that's my face.
You're also paid by George Soros.
Yeah, apparently.
That's a thing.
I did have someone accuse me of being paid by George Soros.
You're a part of the 1%.
Really I love it. No, it's whenever they use.
Paycheck.
I feel bad for this George Soros guy because they blame him for everything. Okay. He's sitting there eating a yogurt or something.
He's become, in many respects, I think the George Soros stuff is really a re-entry of and replication of old anti-Semitic tropes.
Yeah.
Right? This idea, because he's a globalist, right?
He's a Yahud?
He's a Jewish guy,
mm-hmm.
so he's secretly funding everything. And it's true, George Soros certainly does have a lot of money, and he does fund a lot of things. But
how
the idea
different for any other billionaire in the
but
world?
But there's literally no different than Robert Mercer.
He's not Batman.
Or the Koch brothers, or any of that. But because he's George Soros, he's turned into this kind of, paid protesters. No. I mean, I'd love to get a paycheck.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
That would totally be nice.
Oh, yeah, you would, because you're part of the fucking 1%, as if you need any more money.
But the whole point of conspiracy theories, and we've talked about on this podcast, is that it makes people feel like they're on the in.
Yeah,
right? Yeah. Right?
It gives them order to a disordered world. So there's two options for them.
Mm-hmm.
One, bad shit happens.
Yes. Yeah.
It just happens.
Weird.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
There's no order to it. There's no rhyme. There's no reason. Uh-huh. It just happens.
Yeah.
Option two, bad shit happens because
the government,
secret forces make sure it happens.
Yeah. I guess that's
more comforting.
It's one of those things where like there's even if the system is bad or oppressive, there's still a system that you can kind of cling to. I guess that for some people that's just a lot more securing.
There is one conspiracy theory I could get behind. Not that 9/11 was an inside job, but
Bush did 9/11.
Yeah, Bush did 9/11. Now we all know it's not a conspiracy theory.
It's a joke.
But the JFK assassination, that one is a little sketchy to me.
The further back we go, the more easy it is to make conspiracy.
Yeah, because there's less ways of disproving.
The moon landing and stuff was always my favorite. Here's the thing about conspiracy theories. So they do two things. We've talked about it, right? Well, one is they give order to a sense of chaotic world. But two, they also make you feel like... So when you go and you get your degree,
yes,
you become an expert in something,
uh-huh.
right? You become formalized in some form of education.
Correct.
That feeling that you have
uh-huh.
of you knowing a subject intimately.
Yes.
Conspiracy theories want that feeling, but they're not part of the education process. There's a reason why a significant number of conspiracy theorists
also work at 7-Eleven.
Also happen to be uneducated.
That's racist,
right? Well, I mean, like one of the conspiracy theory pushers nowadays is Sean Hannity. He's a high school dropout. He's a college dropout.
O'Reilly was a dropout too.
O'Reilly's a dropout. Yeah. Right? Well, O'Reilly completed his degree eventually. He got his degree in history in Harvard, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow. What about Limbaugh? Rush Limbaugh.
Limbaugh is a college dropout. O'Reilly is not, but Limbaugh is absolutely. He's another one who believes in the conspiracy. So these people who are uneducated, right?
Alex Jones.
These people who are not very educated, and a lot of their listeners aren't. And I'm not dismissing them as dumb or stupid.
Yeah.
I'm saying that because they have a limited view of the world. Because education broadens your view of the world. Correct. Because they have a limited view of the world. They require that sort of order, as well as the feeling that they are somehow informed or educated. Therefore, an Alex Jones listener, he's part of the inside. The rest of us are all sheeple.
Yeah.
We're sheep.
You're all sheeple.
But he knows the truth. He's part of the elect, the chosen people of Alex Jones, the Jonesonites. Right, he knows the truth that there are frogs that are being turned gay. That
juice boxes make you gay.
He knows all that. Those frogs are the truth, right? And this is why people believe in conspiracy theories. It confirms for them a lot of prejudices. It makes them feel comfortable that they can order their world, and it gives them a feeling that they're on the inside.
Yeah.
The sad reality is that the world is a fucked up place.
It is.
You don't need conspiracy theories. The reality is that a lot of our government does do a lot of fucked up shit.
Yeah.
Right? The reality is that...
Didn't they test LSD on people?
LSD on people, torture right now. There's
MKUltra.
So right now we're funding torture prisons in Yemen thanks to Saudi Arabia, right? Like, there's all sorts of fucked up shit that we do already in the world. We don't need conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Now, the funny thing is that a lot of historians, the way we write, people think conspiracy theories. The difference is that people who believe in conspiracy theories believe in some centralized kind of force working.
Mm-hmm.
Historians don't. We deconstruct. We don't go that everyone came together, agreed, and then did something. We talk about how multiple forces kind of act almost on accident, and it leads to something. Yeah. For example, when we talk about, for example, race being replicated in things like the 13th Amendment and the inequality of the prison industrial complex and criminal justice, right? People often mistake that as a conspiracy theory, right? Like the government got together and went, okay, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Behind closed doors. That's not what happens. It's simply a matter of multiple forces preserving their power, right? And replicating certain cultural values. So these are, and historians talk often very up to the edge of conspiracy theory, but we never go, it's a conspiracy.
Yeah.
We go, these are simply historical factors that work together. So this is sometimes what the difference between people who can think of nuance and people who can't think in nuanced terms.
Well, I think when you look at it, it's also this, going along those lines, a lot of the times, like, yeah, things are just it's a bunch of collective chaos that makes it look like it's bigger than it actually is, right? Yeah. A bunch of little disparate moments all come together and create something kind of bigger.
Yeah,
it's
easy
for people to make that natural connection. They talked about how with like 9/11, like, you know, a lot of the people who were perpetrating 9/11, you know, like they were on government lists and stuff, right? But the reason why things like that didn't get prevented is because the FBI doesn't share its information with the CIA.
Yeah.
The CIA doesn't share its information with local police, right? It's like, and it's more so just people doing mundane, stupid little things that add up to something that ends up being bigger, right? We hear that about any type of police investigation of like murderers or anything else. It's like districts don't talk to each other, right? Or like whatever else.
This,
like,
is the fatal flaw, because we've all grown up with law and order and all that. People don't realize that the vast majority of cases actually go unsolved.
Yeah.
And the reason that detective work, a lot of it is guesswork. A lot of it is luck.
Yeah.
Right? It isn't. There aren't these connections. For conspiracy theories, those lack of connections are frightening.
Yeah.
It's that missing link that scares them. And so they try to fill in the gap. And so when we talk about things like 9/11, 9/11 happened because there was before the Department of Homeland Security, which first is really just a communication organization, first.
Yeah.
That tried to bring all the intelligence together and then became an enforcement agency, right?
Yeah.
But that was the original kind of purpose of Homeland Security. So wait, there's all this intelligence, but it's not being communicated.
Yeah.
But that gap is what allows something like 9/11 to happen, right?
Yeah, because they were doing like some kind of testing during that day and shit. Right.
These are things that people don't get, so they have to fill in the gap. Murder, same thing happens in an individual case, so not just in a global case. Conspiracy theories, global, national,
yeah,
et cetera, right? Historical. Yeah. But in an individual case, how often do you see a victim, right, uh-huh, or a survivor, right, talking about a victim or someone that they've lost, and the way they talk about the murder tends to be in conspiratorial terms, right? Mm-hmm. The somehow the law enforcement is involved. Yeah. Somehow there's a cover up. Somehow they knew. Somehow it was done deliberately. So like in the vast majority of the cases in which police officers end up shooting innocent people, mm-hmm, that in those cases, those aren't conspiracy theories of a vast network of people.
Yeah.
Those are just immediate realities. Of frightened officers who do cover up their tracks.
Yes.
Of blue collar, of the thin blue line pulling in together, right? Yeah. Of people's like assumptions and racial prejudices playing on their fears. But it looks like
it's a conspiracy.
It's a vast conspiracy. Yeah. Word. Right? The police knew who it was. They covered up for one of their own. Or so-and-so got killed, but the police did nothing about it because the police aren't interested in protecting our people, right? So there's a mistaking the kind of social and institutional forces at work. They're mistaking that for much more personal, nefarious connections. The thing that I think conspiracy theory does is it implies an intent or motivation that isn't always
there. It also assumes much more power. Or gives that party a lot more power than it actually has a lot of the time.
I think the power exists.
Yeah.
I don't think the power, it doesn't exist. I think it's how that power is directed. They see the power as kind of a concentrated from the top to the bottom, where it's not. Power is actually a cluster that moves in a nebulous fashion. They view it in much more, someone passed the orders down, that person enacted the orders.
The reptilians.
Right, so, and this is how the Illuminati works. Right?
Yes.
So somehow there's somewhere, some organization who's passing these rules and laws, who then somehow managed to get it to the presidents and the kings and the rulers and the prime ministers, who then give it to their secretaries of state. And you know what I mean? So they see this much more direct line of connection, whereas they don't understand the
triangle.
That there doesn't need pyramid. To be an Illuminati. Ooh. For a bunch of powerful people to go, wait a minute, I'm going to act in my own self-interest.
Illuminatus! Yeah.
Well, it's right. Also like there's also things like Skull and Bones and Bilderberg and all that other shit that also kind of create this odd kind of air of mystery around it, right? So it's easy for people, I think, to make those connections, even despite the fact that they don't know exactly what goes on back
there. And again, it's an access thing, right? Yeah. They want to feel like they're on the in, because they're often on the outside.
Yeah.
Because these are often uneducated individuals, these are often individuals who don't have traditional forms of knowledge, right?
Yeah, what did you say? There was an info glub? Right?
Info glut.
Glut, right? Glut, yeah. That's the thing, is we have too much information now, so everyone's just making up shit.
It's easier to get...
Yeah, to just...
Well, see, and the info glut does something really well. Info glut decentralizes expertise.
Uh-huh. Right?
So when you're an expert, you're on the in. When you're a journalist, you're on the in. When you're a person feeling on the outside of that structure, you need to create something to make it feel like you're on the inside.
Uh-huh.
Again, you tend to be, these people tend to come from a background that isn't overly educated, and so they have to create what are known as alternative forms of knowledge, right? I may not be an expert in history, I may not be an expert in math, I may not be an expert in science, but I know all there is to know about Skull and Bones and Illuminati. You see what I'm saying? So you create these alternative forms of knowledge. If you're on the outside of an organization, right, because the organization tends to be secretive, or elitist, right? Skull and Bones is really an elite fraternity, is what it
is. That's how it is.
Yeah. Right?
Rich white people.
Yeah. And does it mean that they help each other? You bet your ass they help each other, but they're not some mass force controlling everything.
Yeah. Right? I think everyone wants to assume everyone's wearing like a plague doctor mask and fucking one another in black robes.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that happens.
I mean, it happens, yeah.
But like, they're assuming that they all, you know, they wink, wink, nod at each other wherever they go, that Vladimir Putin and Trump are both of Skull and Bones. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
Yeah. There is a shadow government, but it's not like in the same way that I think people assume that.
I remember when I was in high school, the big like conspiracy that like I was obsessed with was that Jesus didn't die on the cross. And like I would, because I, you know, like you, I read the Da Vinci Code, and all of a sudden I thought that shit was real, and I thought, oh, well, it could be real. Then I started reading things like the
Jesus papers. That's a historical conspiracy theory that's been around for a long time. Yeah. But that's another one, a case and example. Now, why do people believe that? Right? Why? That's a perfect case and example of what I'm talking about. Right? Uh-huh. Why did people believe in that theory? Why did they believe in that conspiracy theory? Because access. For a long period of time, access to Christ was mediated vis-a-vis what?
The Catholic Church.
The Catholic Church, exactly. Yeah. And so you have a higher... The people who tend to believe in this idea of Christ having a wife or surviving, etc., were more often not Reformed Catholics.
Yeah.
People who were Catholic laymen that were, didn't have access to the inner hierarchies of
the Catholic,
Church. Yeah, the Vatican and shit. Yeah. And as a result, had to create their own... alternative history that they didn't have access to. Now, add on technology, a type of technology that allows you access to any form of information that your heart desires, right? We talked about, what is that internet rule? Whatever you want.
Rule 43?
Rule 43. There's a pardon for it or something.
Yes. Rule 32.
32, whatever it is, right? If that rule exists... That for porn, that rule exists for intellectual endeavors. If you want to look up research or someone who is convinced that based off of what, you know, what size your eyes are determines how many children you'll have, you'll find it.
So I'll have
there's
none.
Someone, there's someone on the internet who's written a blog post about it. Like, look, I saw this thing. He's clearly a geneticist and he knows, right? A lot of their stuff is old genetic stuff that's been debunked by actual geneticists. But there is some place on the internet where people write up about it and they act like they're experts and they feel they're on the know. Of course there's racial and genetic differences. The Asians are a smart people. That's evidenced, right?
Stupid.
So you take
that'll the show them. I'm that, dumb as fuck.
You take the feeling of feeling outside of something, right? The desire to feel on the inside.
Yes.
Then throw in a technology like Wild Wild West technology.
I wanted to be a Catholic when I was younger,
and it goes crazy.
That's why I was looking for Jesus.
Is that how like whenever you go to like the bookstore and you go to like the spirituality section, somehow everyone is an Egyptologist?
Yeah,
you know, like
well, there was a period of time I remember where like it was like the early 2000s in which the ancient aliens or the ancient astronaut theory was really big.
God, I hate right? that
the,
shit.
It was Hancock's. He really kind of started.
Graham Hancock.
The funny thing about Graham Hancock is his theory is actually really old. He actually put it out in the
80s. He stole it from Von Daniken, though. Eric Von Daniken.
No, it was actually Hancock. Daniken steals
from him. Daniken
steals. They stole it from Beric Dondarrion?
No, not Beric Dondarrion. That's Game of Thrones. Let's check that. But we should clarify that's Diz's way of saying Beric Dondarrion.
Beric Dondarrion.
Which we haven't seen this episode.
Yeah.
So the thing about the ancient aliens or the ancient astronaut theory was that it was huge in the early 2000s, right? And it was a thing because Egyptology was a very specialized form of knowledge.
Uh-huh.
Right? Egyptology requires element of art history, archaeology, all anthropology, all of this shit, right? And so, but now everyone could talk about how they knew something about, well, you know that the Incans, like, motherfucker, you don't know shit about the Mayans and the Incans and the Aztecs. You don't know shit about Egypt.
I don't.
They couldn't tell you the difference between Old Kingdom and Middle Kingdom. They couldn't tell you anything about Demetic versus hieroglyphics, but they could tell you about how there's that one hieroglyphic that looks like it's a dude flying in space, or that one time that they saw a statue or an object that looked like an airplane.
Yeah.
Therefore, they are on the in.
Yes. I asked someone about that once who was into that, and I'm like, well, if aliens really did come, why the hell would they use this horrible human astronaut technology to get down here when they were that much more advanced? Mm. Or why would they use an airplane for that shit? If we knew that airplanes were useless, like they're useless in World War II,
talking about a very specific artifact that's been found. It looks like it's a kid's toy, and it looks like a World War II bomber.
Yeah.
People assume that the bomber is from aliens, but that's a good point. If ancient aliens existed and they have all this technology, why in the fuck did they use World War II airplanes?
Yeah, it's just... It's stupid shit. Like there's a time traveling conspiracy where it's like in a scene of a movie, there's a lady, old lady, with like a headscarf walking by, and it looks like she has like
a cell phone. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. The cell phone in her hand, right?
But why would she use a cell phone?
Yeah, there's no cell towers. Yeah. You know, like all
not the, just why would she use a cell phone if there's no cell towers, but why would she use 2000 technology if she's from the future?
Yeah,
yeah, right.
So it's kind of they don't have other forms of they can be cell phones. You're telling me we're literally seeing people come up with shit right now, but you're telling me that thousands of years in the future.
Listen,
time travel, I believe, is kind of proven false. Because if time travel existed,
we would already know.
We would already know about it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Someone would have already come back.
Keanu Reeves has come back.
No.
He hasn't aged.
No, people, that's the opposite. That's the conspiracy theory that Keanu Reeves
is an immortal.
Nicolas Cage, they're immortals.
Yes.
Brad Pitt, these people have lived forever.
Yes, they have.
I've seen Interview with a Vampire.
It's like that's if you look at enough as a person who's gone through archives. If you look through enough pictures, you'll find a doppelganger.
You'll find a doppelganger of me. Yeah. That's a poor fella.
I'll find a Civil War veteran that looks like you.
Poor fella, covered in 90%.
You look like a Confederate.
Maybe.
The way you're twirling your beard right now.
90% body hair.
You're about to drink a mint julep and lick somebody.
Mint juleps are good. All right, it's bourbon. I appreciate a nice bourbon. Yeah, you guys are just haters.
In light of, I think, the Civil War. I think that's enough conspiracy talk. Right. I'm sorry. I'm so sick and tired of stupid people.
You're all fuckers.
You're all stupid.
We really jumped into that.
You all deserve to be fired.
But in light of the Civil War, we should have... We'll do a nerd news update, and then we'll do a little bit of political news.
Okay.
So first, the nerd news is that Amazon just released a new... press release claiming that they're going to be releasing I've said release three times at least, and I said
yes.
That they are in the midst of creating a show called Black America. That, interestingly enough, like for whatever reason, they've been working on this for a while, but it seems like an interesting answer to HBO's Confederate.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Confederate is this bullshit. We talked about it last week of how ridiculously stupid this idea is of two white privileged pieces of shit who ruined Game of Thrones, reimagine our history in which slavery didn't end.
It didn't. Right?
That would be the show Confederate.
We decided week it didn't end.
Fucking Benioff can suck my left nut.
Yeah, Weiss could suck the right one.
Weiss can just die.
Oh.
Black America is from Amazon, and apparently it's also a reimagining of the Civil War. But in that case, Black Americans or African Americans win reparations and have a separate country of their own. Like they win Alabama, Mississippi, and some other, I think Louisiana. Florida.
Yeah, and it's also one of those dystopian. It's one of those futures where I guess that country is prospering while America rest of the country, like America,
This particular reimagining isn't a new one. It's now new in the United States, but it's been done in comic books before.
Wakanda.
Wakanda is Africa that hasn't been colonized.
Yeah.
Right? It's the reimagining of Africa. What would have happened to Africa if the Europeans didn't come in and fucking take everything?
Yeah.
And still continue to do so, right? Like people often talk about colonialism was in the past. No, motherfucker. I mean, every single one of us who use a cell phone are able to thrive able to use it because some poor person is, digging up cobalt and zinc.
That's true. Yeah.
Shit like that. The lives are ruined because these massive companies are there. So the idea of Wakanda is like, what would happen if
the whites didn't come and ruin everything?
Jeez. This new Black America is that same concept, I think, but brought to America and put into American history rather than African history.
Uh-huh.
So what would happen to the African Americans if they won reparations?
The world would thrive.
You know there's going to be some butthurt.
Yeah. White people?
People on the right. No, it's not just white people. I mean, white people in general are going to be butthurt, but people on the right are going to be angry as fuck at this movie.
Uh-huh. Do you feel like Confederate... And what was the other show called?
Black America.
Black America. Like, do you feel like they're two sides of the same coin? Or do you feel like there's a very different...
I think there's a very different thing going on here, right? One is a fetishization of the past.
Yeah.
The other one is trying to address imbalance, right? So there is an imbalance. Power rests where?
With the whites.
With white people. Power rests where in Confederate?
With the white people.
where does power rest in Black America?
The blacks.
You see what I'm saying? So there is a difference there, a relational difference. I don't know if it's a smart show either, to be honest with you. Again, yeah. This seems to be timing-wise a really dangerous time to be doing any type of reimagining of the past. I would much prefer people making really solid documentaries like 13th.
Yeah.
That's what I think is what we need. Documentaries and shows that really go into the Civil War, that go into our past, that try to bring that information beyond the textbook, because obviously there's an ignorance there. I'm uncomfortable with entertainment getting involved in regards to this. I think there's some flaws in it.
Yeah, because like it fetishizes it.
It fetishes it. Now, it does raise a really interesting question about reparations. Like, does that bring the conversation of reparations back around?
3 acres and a mule.
Because I'm a believer in reparations. I've actually been quite vocal. I believe in Goran Kolas' approach of rectificatory justice, that you cannot have what's known as distributive justice or justice that is coercive. That is, you only punish people. Mm-hmm. You need to have justice that restores harmony. And that's usually done through rehabilitative justice, rectificatory justice. Those are all examples of that type of justice. And that means you have to actually fix what went wrong. If you've enslaved a whole group of people, economically deprived them, socially deprived them, culturally added negative values to them, in order to redress that, you have to do something beyond going, okay, cool, that was in the past.
Yeah. I think that there are a lot of professors and people in academic circles who actually believe that reparations is the way to go. As I understand it, like, after Japanese internment, there was some form of reparation in the 90s.
A small amount, but the way it worked out is like, as is typical of America, the people who actually ended up getting reparations, very small amount of people, because they waited till most people to waited till most people, they used all sorts of bureaucratic shit to be like, oh, you don't qualify. I think at the end, like, the proportions was, like, only a handful of people I got real reparations.
And then when Did George Takei get it?
I don't think so.
When you think about kind of the, something like, how Native Americans technically have sovereign land is also their form of kind of saying that we're not going to interfere because of all that we did, right? But at the same time, that's also another kind of...
But economically segregated.
Exactly, like they did nothing, right? Yeah. So, and then that's... So when you think about it, you're like, well, reparations is an idea, really good, but it seems like a lot of the times, given the way that we do reparations in this country, it'll cause a lot more resentment.
That's because none of those are actual reparations.
Yeah, yeah.
So Indian lands are treaties. Yeah. Those aren't reparations. We're not giving them anything. We've actually just delegated them. We go, okay, you can keep this small plot.
Yeah.
We got the rest.
Yeah, make a casino.
It's an imbalanced treaty.
Yeah.
Right? The Japanese internment was a lawsuit.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Right, so it's not reparations.
Okay, so
reparations isn't deliberate. It's an act of rehabilitative justice or rectificatory justice where you go, we've done something wrong. We need to fix it. So, for example, it's a recognition that slavery has a historical, that the act of slavery and Jim Crow and all that, right? It has, it's a historical wound, right? That because of it, it creates a whole system of power imbalances.
Yo, I got an idea.
You can only fix that by addressing the power imbalance.
Listen, if you white and you have the same last name as a black man, you owe that person 15% of your annual salary for 5 years.
You know, there's moments like this, moments like this.
That's reparations.
Well, I thank God that Diz isn't in charge of anything meaningful other than our audio.
Believe me, we're happy you're in a dead-end job.
Look, all the Johnsons.
That's so harsh.
Fuck you. My dead-end job is taking me further than your dead-end job. But
listen, both
look at him. He's making us poor people fight each other.
No, listen, white listen, devil. You're both pretty. Let's go. Let's move on.
I still think all the Johnsons and the Williams should be paying.
There's a Malcolm X. Someone reposted Malcolm X's video in which he was talking about why his last name is X and not something else.
It's his slave name.
It's a slave name. If a black man's name is Johnson, you know, he's got it from his master.
Yeah.
And it's a great interview. It's fantastic. Check it out. It's a really good one.
Yeah, I asked my white coworker, I'm like, hey, how does it feel when like a black dude walks in with the same last name as you? He's like, I get so nervous. He's like,
you should be. I mean, somewhere in his past, his family members done something fucked up.
Yeah.
Maybe not him deliberately, but somewhere along the branch,
he's like,
something got gnarled.
He's like, it throws me off. I'm like, yeah, as it should.
Now let's talk about political news real quickly, right? So we've talked a bit about black America and
this was
wasn't political news. No, this was nerd news. So from nerd news, let's move to political news, because we haven't talked about politics in a while. Politicon was handled this Sunday. It's a convention called Politicon.
Oh, God.
Where people get together. And I think this was a perfect timing for Politicon, too, because it happened right before Scaramucci got fired.
The Mooch got us one of our most popular tweets ever.
Yeah.
Good shit, V.
I am so infinitely amused by the fact that this guy showed up talking all sorts of smack.
Seriously.
Acting like he owned the place. And then within 10 days got fired.
Yeah.
There's a fantastic, someone put up a meme, can't get fired if you don't actually start your job, right?
You're on his forehead.
I love that guy. But the thing that fascinates me too is like, this is a moment where I think the media really needs to take a moment to think about themselves. They spent the first 3 days of Scaramucci just sucking his dick. Oh my God, he's so smooth. He's so much nicer than Spicer. He's so well polished.
Nicer than Spicer.
They did this whole thing where they literally, he's so professional.
Yeah.
If he was so professional, clearly your insights were bullshit. 10 days later, he's been fired.
Yeah, he was going around
talking about Steve Bannon sucking his own dick.
That was a vision I'd never needed in my head.
And then he's sitting there talking about fucking Priebus being a fucker or some shit.
Priebus is as the leaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Priebus is gone too.
In the 10 days that, like, everything went down. Spicer got resigned.
Yep.
Priebus got fired or resigned. We're not quite sure.
Yeah.
Scaramucci got fired.
Yeah. Seriously. Lost his marriage and missed the birth of his kid.
This is a typical, like, rich realtor fuck, right?
Yeah.
Trump's bill got shut down.
And then healthcare happened. Healthcare not only was, it was one of the most embarrassing legislative moments for Donald Trump.
Yo, you know what he's doing now?
Because he put his...
He's threatening to take away Congress's health care.
Yeah, he's threatening... He's done all sorts of threats. He's been threatening Senator Collins and Murkowski or whatever, right, from Alaska for a while now.
Yeah.
Because both of these women have held strong. But they were not enough.
Yeah.
And on the health care vote, McCain came in and surprised everyone. And he said, voted thumbs down, no.
Yeah.
And that was a moment where it all shit. Now, people were pissed because McCain had voted yes to move to the debate. Move to the debate. Most people were like, you could have stopped it there.
Yeah.
But he did. At the end, apparently, both Donald Trump called him.
Yeah, and all of his aides, like everyone that worked with McCain, tried to like sit him down and like speak to him on a personal level.
Yeah.
To, like, try to get him to change.
Donald Trump called him, but Biden also called him.
Oh, shit.
There was, like, a really emotional conversation with Biden. Yeah, him and Biden go way back. And, like, there's this fantastic moment where you could see McConnell just break his heart breaking. And that just goes to show you what a sick fucker he is.
Fucking turkey neck bitch McConnell.
Yeah, turtle head McConnell is angry that he can't kill 22 million people, right?
I know.
But the thing about it is for McConnell, it's an indication that he's lost the Senate.
Yeah,
because right. He's been known as the master of the Senate. Even when he was a minority leader, he knew how to manipulate the Senate's rules and laws and regulations and ordinances.
He's a fucking weasel.
Well. He'll go down in history as one of the worst GOP senators of all time. Yes. It's absolutely disastrous.
I feel like his talent really lied and kind of he was able to rally people in opposition, but he's not able to do anything to actually move people forward.
What he did is he forged the GOP into an opposition party.
Yeah.
And he did a great job. As an opposition party, they do great. Like,
yeah.
They know how to obstruct, they know how to block, they don't know how to govern.
Yeah.
And that's a serious problem. Now, but this is a major issue for Donald Trump because he rode on the promise that day one he would repeal Obamacare. He hasn't been able to do so. He's also said it would be very easy to come across
he could do it in a day,
create health care across state lines. He's been unable to do it. But now he's backing off and then goes, I never said that. We'll do what I said from the beginning. We'll let Obamacare implode. No, that's not what you said. We have the tweets. We have the transcripts. You said you were going to repeal it.
Yeah.
You lied. And this is where people are his base obviously don't care, but for him, it's considered massive embarrassment.
Well, I feel like he's obviously kind of crumbling on the inside, right?
His whole thing is crumbling.
Yeah, I mean, because they still haven't, technically, they've lost more White House staff than they've gained, right?
Is that there's still a lot of positions that are open. So, like, the State Department has, I think, 50 more positions that they haven't filled yet.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of people that are really pissed off who are his ardent supporters because they're not getting support from them. It's like no one's getting picked up.
And now the Senate is more hostile to him.
Yeah.
Because he's taking a hostile approach to Senate. Jeff Flake, You're going to see McCain.
That's true.
Mikowski.
I mean, also, he alienated Jeff Sessions.
Yeah.
Like his one.
Well, he's been going at it with Jeff Sessions for a while now.
Yeah.
But that's a political. That's a maneuver on his part. Yeah. He wants Sessions to resign so he can replace him. He can't fire Sessions because that looks too bad. That would cause an uproar. True. Even Lindsey Graham has stepped up and like, if you fire Jeff Sessions, it's the end of your president. The problem with the Republicans is they all talk, but at the end of it, they don't actually do shit.
I never thought I'd see the day where like I'd actually be like, wow, Lindsey Graham's actually standing up for something.
He's not, though.
But he's, yeah. Like,
here's the thing. Republicans all talk a tough game.
Yeah.
Right? They all claim
to be. They all fall in line pretty quick.
Fucking Jeff Flake, who's been Donald Trump, he voted yes. Yeah. Lindsey Graham, he voted yes. Right? The thing about healthcare, too, is that it's really kind of a Frankenstein monster.
I mean, it's like kind of a patchwork of kind of dead body parts all stitched together.
In the sense that it dies and is resurrected over and over again.
Okay. What was
how many times has
zombie healthcare or something?
They call it zombie health. How many times has this thing died?
Three times?
Like at least three times now.
Yeah, I think three. And then they shut down the government because of it once, too.
Well, that was a different time.
Melisandre coming in with the good work all over healthcare, apparently.
Yeah.
So it to life again.
This healthcare stuff was the main conversation of Politicon. And what people don't know about Politicon is it's basically a convention for political nerds.
Why didn't you go to that?
And then I was away.
In Israel. That's right.
Yeah. Stop saying stuff like that. Yeah. I'm going to get stopped by Homeland Security.
You're getting Palestine back for us.
I was at Florida SuperCon.
You were getting, I don't know.
The Green Ranger was there.
Yeah, leave Florida alone.
And I met Peter Capaldi.
How dare they subject the doctor to Florida? That's America's shithole. No one should ever go to Florida, ever. Unless you're going to Disney World or Full Sail University.
We've already covered my feelings of Florida, yeah. I think.
We have listeners from Florida, too.
Can I tell you something? I really gave Florida a chance, and it just didn't work out for me.
But where were you in Florida?
I was in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh. Is it like White Trash Central?
Well, no, not really. It was actually nice. A lot of cruise ships. We were driving around, and I saw a random sign that said, don't play with the monkeys.
What?
Around a fence. So I was like, there must be monkeys here, and I didn't see one.
And it was,
which annoyed me.
There's giant-ass lizards.
I thought it was a racist thing.
I'm a fan of lizards, right? the thing is, humidity, number one, is horrible.
Yeah, the humidity.
You can't deal with it, right? And also, apparently, the Uber drivers there are kind of jerks.
Well, they're all white people?
No. What is wrong with you?
I don't know.
What is
I'm on my
anti-white banter today.
We literally, every time we say something negative, you automatically assume it's white people.
I'm telling you that there's a lot of Smiths and Johnsons and
it's a fair assumption.
Stuff that are listening that are just unsubscribing left and right thanks to you.
Well, you know what?
We have a lot of lovely white listeners.
Yeah, we do. The little people that listen to us are nice, but the other ones.
I dislike white people.
I know, really. It's all like, but then even
this
then.
This has just got a problem today.
Seriously.
Yeah. Clearly a white woman has denied him.
Oh, my Tinder requests. Yeah. So I've been brown women instead of whites.
He's like, I keep getting brown women, but white women won't give me any attention.
See, I think he brings it up because he wants it. It's one of those things.
He's asking for it.
You know, like when someone bullies a girl when they're in like kindergarten because they like them. Diz likes Johnson too much.
It's not that they like him. It's because their fucking masculinity is
I like Richard Johnson. Richard Johnson's my favorite guy.
Dick Johnson. Fan of the Dick Johnson.
My Tinder name, remember? What was your Tinder name again?
Rock Thrustmeyer.
What was yours?
Sextus something.
That's what it was.
Sextus. Yeah. Sequentilius or some shit.
So I found out that there's a scam going on in Fort Lauderdale for Uber drivers where it's like they'll at the airport when you want to get picked up, they'll actually call you and ask you where you're going.
Yeah.
And And they'll put in their GPS, and if the drive isn't worthwhile for their money, they just won't pick you up. And it happened to me twice when I was there.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did you use Lyft instead?
I ended up taking a taxi. The company paid for it, so it didn't matter to me. But I jumped in a taxi, and then this whole weekend was just marred by all sorts of delays, man. Like, every we tried to get boxes back from the convention.
Uh-huh.
And like our we called Lyft that time for a truck, and he refused to let us put our boxes in his SUV.
Why?
Because he screamed about how it was a passenger vehicle and how he wasn't there to haul stuff. So it was just like, Florida sucks.
Yeah. How many Confederate flags did you see?
I didn't see. I'd say it was a nerd convention. There weren't that many.
Oh.
Saw a lot of Doctor Who people because Peter Capaldi was there.
Yeah. They subjected a doctor to that
shit.
Yeah,
and the girl who plays the Weeping Angel, she was there too. Very nice lady. Oh. And she came and bought shirts from me. And then I met the voice of Roadhog. From Overwatch, he was there, and I ended up on his Snapchat.
Hey.
Yeah, he was all like, we were talking a lot. I drew a picture of him on a...
I have no idea what any of this means.
He did all this while you were trying to get Palestine back
first. I heard Peter Capaldi, Doctor Who, that all I follow up with. The rest of this, I don't know what you're talking about.
Listen.
You know, I mean...
He was trying to get shirts for the nerds. You were trying to get Palestine for the Muslims.
Stop saying stupid shit like that.
You guys both
I am a fan of Peter Capaldi. The 12th Doctor is my favorite so far.
He's an angry doctor.
Yeah, it took me a second to get used to him, though. You know, I think a lot of people took a little feeling out period for Peter Capaldi.
Well, there's always a feeling out period with all the doctors.
He's a war doctor.
True. No one dives into the doctor. People forget David Tennant. When David Tennant became doctor, there was a serious hesitation on him.
People fell in love with David Tennant a lot. Like, David Tennant seemed to have like a really weird
but
like,
people don't know the history there. He got a cult following, but it took several episodes before they fell into it because doctor went from this leather wearing badass to this guy with a trench coat and Converse on. And so it was, for a lot of people, it was a adjusting period. It took, I think, it really took the whole season before people started to follow David Tennant. What worked in his benefit is that he was young.
Yeah, people like Matt Smith a lot, too.
Matt Smith people warmed up to a little earlier.
Because of the bow ties.
Because of the bow ties.
Bow ties are cool.
Because of the fez stuff, all that stuff. Yeah. They got comfortable with him quite early on, I think. Yeah. But, yeah, David Tennant, it took a little bit for people to warm up to
Matt Smith is the one with the guys with no mouth, right? Wasn't that his... The silence or whatever it was?
He fights them. A lot of the monsters are reoccurring.
Yeah. Oh, are they? Okay.
A lot of the, monsters kind of come over and over again. Yeah. I mean, the Cybermen, the Daleks, they're literally all
exterminate.
Every season.
Exterminate.
But Matt Smith, people really jumped into. Peter Capaldi, I think, one of the reasons the hesitation happened was.
He's old.
He's older. Yeah. He's not a young
ageist
doctor that you can imagine to be your boyfriend. He's a darker doctor. But all the doctors, all of them take a warming up period. Even Eckerson, right? When he first came out, people were like, they were uncomfortable because it was like, oh, we're rebooting Doctor Who. I'm not so sure about this. Yeah. People weren't on board.
He only lasted for a season.
So people forget that. They romanticize the past. But so, Peter Capaldi, people had to warm up.
Dude, okay, so what happened at your little nerd festival?
I wasn't there, but your Politicon is a major nerd festival. Political nerd festival.
I feel like that's where you would go and find like your wife.
And there was a series of debates that people that don't know. That pause was me making a strange face at this. at that weird statement of his. There was a series of debates that were really kind of big there. A lot of people went. Michael Cernovich went, the kind of loser that thinks he's a journalist. He calls it
the worst.
I'm doing journalism, son. Turning on your Twitter to live video while you're in your mom in your wife's parents' house is not journalism. Okay, he's a fleshy, fatty, fat, pudgy white dude.
Don't body shame.
Who found a bunch of insecure nerds to sell pickup artists shit to. You need the gorilla mindset, which, by the way, if you've ever read any of his stuff, is practically rapey. But he, you know, he sold that shit to them because they're a bunch of insecure people. And then when he found a new market, a bunch of insecure white supremacists, he jumped on that bandwagon.
Yeah.
He was there. Tommy Lahren was there.
Tani Lasagna?
Tani Lasagna was debating Chelsea Handler.
Yes.
Which was stupid because I'm like, Chelsea Handler is not a politician.
Well, it's like neither one of them are politicians. Neither one of them are particularly relevant anymore.
Don't get me wrong. I hate the right, but some of the people on the left are like, I mean, really, Chelsea Handler? Or what's her fucking face? Lena Dunham.
Lena Dunham? The chick from Girls?
The Girls. She's really going to be the avatar of the left?
Is
woman's
she?
Stupid. She represents white feminism if I ever saw. Stupid as hell.
Okay. So what happened? Who did Tani Lasagna win?
Tani Lahren accidentally revealed that she's on Obamacare.
Wait, what?
So they were talking about healthcare because this healthcare bill was going on.
Uh-huh.
And someone asked, well, what healthcare do you have? And she's like, well, I'm fortunate because I'm 24. I'm still on my parents' healthcare. And someone's like, that's because of Obamacare. The ACA is the Affordable Care Act's provision allows you to stay on until you're 25. So this, like, she became the butt of everyone's joke on Twitter.
So she's been talking shit about Obamacare for years.
The thing that she's been talking shit about, even like The Hill and CNN, everything picked it up, that for years she's been talking shit about Obamacare and
she's on it.
She's been benefiting from it. But isn't that so typical of these Republicans, right? So the people who were voting to remove Obamacare are also the people who were benefiting.
Yeah, right.
I mean, all senators have government-funded health care.
Yeah.
They want to keep theirs, but they want to remove it from everyone else.
Of course.
Right?
You know, we're not worthy of it, apparently.
So this is typical Tommy Lahren. Then, of course, there was the debate between Hassan Pike, Woke Bay.
Hey.
For people who don't know who he is, they call him Woke Bay, apparently.
He's a handsome man.
This is the year of the Bays, right? There's yeah. Salt Bay, yeah. Hurt Bay.
Woke Bay.
There's another Bay.
I don't know.
There's like Betrayed Bay or such a... Hurt Bay was the one that did the YouTube video where she asks her ex why he cheated on her.
Yeah.
And she cries.
Yeah.
Then there's another Bay that got screwed over by, like, I think Airbnb or something.
I don't know.
There's like some other one where like she got caught and she had to like, and she had no, like the guy was cheating on her. It was like a Tinder date. I forgot what it was. It was famous. That was another Bay. There's Salt Bay, of course, the guy who sprinkles salt and everything with a hint of elbow.
Yeah. With the Turkish guy. Yeah.
Turkish guy. I think he's Salt in Bay Dubai, right?
Yeah, he's in yeah. Dubai.
He's in Dubai.
Yeah.
And he's doing that to DiCaprio.
He's actually ridiculously talented.
We know he's quite the accomplished meatsmith.
He is. He's very good. Like, despite all the fake showmanship and stuff, like people who know something about food, like they look like he actually knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He just does it with a little pizzazz.
He just does all this extra shit. All, yeah. He's just extra.
His restaurants
he's just extra.
Are like 5-star restaurants. Everyone's like, they're some of the best food they've ever had.
Well, there's also Woke Bay.
Yes.
Woke Bay is Hassan
Piker.
Hassan Piker is a guy who is on The Young Turks, and he basically, his job is to debunk Tommy Lahren. Every time she puts out a Facebook video, there's usually one of him where he breaks down what she says and he calls her out on her shit. But because he's kind of a tall, good-looking guy, and he's like...
She won't go on a date with him.
What is it? Edgy? What is that style called?
I don't know, dude.
Edgy hipster?
I can't pull that shit, though.
Edgy, he wears, like, lots of, like, chains.
He's got, like, rings and stuff.
And, like, skinny jeans. And, like, whatever that weird style is that has emerged, he wears it. So they call him Woke Bay. Woke Bay was up against Charlie Kirk, who's a person on the right, a hard right. He's a younger guy, Trump supporter. That one was not particularly good. Woke Bay spent most of his time just kind of
making fun of him.
Making fun.
Yeah.
But it was a big draw. People went to that. And then the big kind of the heavyweight, if I were to borrow a term that you...
The headline? The main event.
You idiots would understand.
The
main event, whatever.
Yeah.
But it was between Ann Coulter and Anna Kasparian. Kasparian is also from the Young Turks.
Ann Coulter, the wicked cunt of the West.
Don't use that word. I hate that word.
I mean, she lives in New York. How could you be...
From the Western Hemisphere.
What I particularly love about Ann Coulter is that every time I see her, she's become more cadaverous.
That's true. She's very skeletal-like.
It's like her, like, she needs to suck the souls out of people in order to survive.
I hate that one.
Was a fantastic debate. It was between... And Anna Kasparian, first of all, she's on the Young Turks. She's actually one of the smarter people on the Young Turks. No offense to Genk. I think he's really good.
That's his name, right?
Yeah. He's good. He's smart. But I think he comes off as a little bit...
Arrogant sometimes.
Arrogant. Whereas I think she's really sharp.
Yeah.
And he's good too. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I have nothing. He's actually quite intelligent himself. I think he's done some really fascinating and cool stuff when it comes to media. Especially the Young Turks. Especially, he like left MSNBC, did his own thing. Really kind of cool. We'll do a whole topic on that. But she came prepared. She came fucking prepared. She had facts and figures and debate points. Whereas Ann Coulter rehashed a lot of her old arguments. She even at one point turned to Ann Coulter and go, "Don't get emotional." You know, because the right always talks about people being triggered and snowflakes.
Uh-huh.
She turned the rhetoric on it, and she got a standing ovation and people who were mass cheering. Anna Kasparian. She did such a brilliant job. And in fact, I think that debate is kind of a master class in how to debate people on the right, is to hit them with facts and figures, but then turn their rhetoric on themselves. Right. And she did a great job because she talked about, for example, you know, typical Ann Coulter stuff, immigration, etc. And Anna Kasparian hit her with, why are you spending something billion dollars on a wall? I'd rather spend that money on American workers. That type of language really hurts the people on the right and Republicans because it exposes the fallacies in their thinking.
Yeah.
That at the end of the day, they don't have a policy. They have a collection of prejudices that they try to institute into laws.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
So it was a great one. If you guys don't have, you know, haven't had a chance, definitely check out Anna Kasparian and Ann Coulter's debate.
Yeah, Anna Kasparian is what? She the lead singer of System of the Down?
No, that's Serj Tankian, you racist. Okay. Not all Armenians are the same.
She's half Armenian, half Syrian, I think.
She's a beautiful young woman.
Stop it.
What? I can't see she's a beautiful young woman. What's wrong
with that? I know exactly where you're going.
I just said she was the lead singer of System of the Down.
Yeah, he's being racist. I just am being sexist.
And this, and in many ways, this goes to Armenia's long tradition of Western, of not Western, of left secularist thought, socialism, communism, brilliant kind of Marxist thinkers come out of Armenia, all sorts of interesting stuff.
Yeah.
So Anna Kasparian comes out of that kind of
tradition. You're a hero,
of intellectuals. Anna. Well done on crushing Ann Coulter. You did a phenomenal
yes.
job.
Yes, crush also, that C-word. Also, C-word.
Congratulations to Hassan Pike. You did a great job.
Hassan Piker, you're a role model for us brown folks everywhere.
You did a good job.
White people love you.
Because he's white. He's kind of white.
He's kind of white.
He's kind of white.
His name is Hassan.
You did a good job, but the credit goes to Anik.
Follow him on Instagram.
You did a phenomenal job kicking the ass of that evil woman.
And Chelsea Handler, you let Tommy Loren shoot herself in the foot. Yes, so good job.
Good job to everyone on the left. As is typical of Politicon, Republicans and the people on the right showed up and revealed that they really are
stupid.
A morally and intellectually bankrupt group of people.
You're all dumb.
And on that note, Diz, why don't you take us out?
Yes, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/currentlynerdy, on Twitter, @currentlynerdy, on Instagram, currentlynerdy, on Tumblr, currentlynerdy.tumblr.com, on YouTube, you search Currently Nerdy. And we also have a podcast called Currently Nerdy on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. If you're not subscribed yet,
you're a fucking idiot.
You need to subscribe and you need to leave us a comment and a review because V will tell you why later. If you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. V, tell them what they get for subscribing and leaving reviews and what your personal information is.
Last week was San Diego Comic-Con and I went ahead and went to the Loot Crate booth and I picked up an exclusive Rick and Morty Peace Among Worlds Rick figure that's an all gold. It's him kind of flicking off people, right? And I decided that we're going to go ahead and give that out to one of you fabulous nerds. And the way that you can do that is by subscribing to this podcast and leaving a review. Take a picture, send it to us, you can get entered. Or you can go to our YouTube channel. Search Currently Nerdy on YouTube. Go ahead and find our latest video. Comment on that. Give us a subscribe. Send us that. And we'll also enter you into the contest.
So there's two ways of entering. You either are subscribe and leave a review to the podcast. If you've already done that, you subscribe and leave a comment to the YouTube channel.
Yes.
So either way, if you're a longtime listener or a brand new listener, you get a chance to win this great gift that V.
Yes, beautiful Rick Sanchez
sweepstake. And how can they get a hold of you, Diz? Or V?
Oh, my God. I know, it's the facial hair,
isn't it? You're all the same to me.
Yeah, I figured as much. You know, we're all Asian, according to earlier this podcast. Yep. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at vtran214. That's VYTRAN214. You can find me on my website at thesandwichslayer.com. Ali?
You can catch me on my website at alialomi.com, ALOLOMI.com, or on Twitter and Instagram at AAOLOMI. Definitely check me out there if you're interested in politics or you want to see the behind the scenes of the stuff I'm up to. You can see it on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find me on our sister podcast, our child podcast, our offspring podcast, our side podcast, whatever you want to call it, Head on History. You can go to iTunes or on Stitcher Radio and look up Head on History to hear my melodious, wonderful voice talking about the past and all of its cool and crazy stories. Diz, how about you?
I post all my dick pics on Diz. Can you not do that? At Dizbulla.
Stop it.
Dizbullah.
He's going to lose subscribers now.
There we go.
Yes. If you subscribe, if you want to see a dick pic.
I'm pretty sure he just... Pictures of Cheney. There's a form of sexual assault here. We are not Anthony Weiner, okay? Let's clarify that.
And on that Carlos note, Danger.
Thank you for tuning in. And remember, stay smart, sexy nerds.
Dick Johnson. And we love you.